Hello, everyone. Thank you for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I'm here with...
Mark Seifter. I am the Director of Game Design for Roll for Combat.
And today we're going to talk about, not one, not two, not three, four new Battlezoo books coming out on Kickstarter in April, and they're all about dragons.
When you say April, today is April, so it's coming out today.
And I just want to say first that if you haven't seen previously, if you haven't looked at this book, the Battlezoo Ancestry Dragons book, the one that came out maybe, a year ago maybe now? Two?
Yeah, around there.
This is an excellent book. My players still use this book heavily in Pathfinder. And it's a great resource book if you want to play dragons. And it's, it balances such a way that I personally didn't think it would be possible to play in a fantasy setting. Because I think we talked before, like sometimes when people introduce dragons as player characters, it tends to break the game. But this is balanced so well, and there's like such a variety of dragons you can be, and all of them are different, different lore, different powers. I've introduced this also to my D&D friends, and they were very happy to hear there is a 5e version, which they're checking out right now.
Absolutely.
But today we're going to talk about, four new Battlezoo Dragon books.
For Pathfinder 2nd Edition and 5e. Yeah. Yes. I feel almost like when Brendan Sanderson just pulled out a book and then another book when he did his big Kickstarter. He just had been hiding all of those books because, this is four, not one, not two, like you said. It's four dragon books, each of which is a standalone that you could take as your very first delve into these dragons if you don't have that original book that Manny showed you. And they also expand on the dragon ancestry from that book, but they contain the basic information that you need to run it without buying that other book.
If I may ask, how did the idea for this come about?
So basically, Steven and I were talking about this because when we first made the first Battles of Ancestries Dragons, I said, let's do a dragon ancestry. Let's do a PDF that's small and maybe it has like the chromatic and metallic and we can expand. They'll have 10. We can expand. We can do 5 at a time in small PDFs. Steven's like, okay. I'm adding to the Kickstarter, the current Kickstarter, not the next one. Because when he asked, he was like, what will the next one be? I'm adding it to the current Kickstarter with all 45 of the ones you said we might someday expand into. I don't know. Okay. That's not what I expected, but okay. That's going to be huge. And it was. It was gigantic, and it had 45 dragons. But that wasn't all the dragons that we thought of, even that day. Because when Ginny D came up with a mushroom dragon for us, a toadstool dragon for the book, it was the first in a family of Leshy dragons. And those Leshy dragons that would have had four other Leshies that would have been part of that family. And you can see Leshy dragons on that list of four dragons over there. And so basically what happened at that point is that we took all of our other dragon ideas and we kept them for a little while. Then we sort of very, very subtly moved towards this because if you get our newsletters, we sometimes have like stories or lore in them. And we had a series of stories about a battle competition called the Dragon Overlord Competition, where in world there were battles happening between different types of dragons from the different families. But the real way it was decided was people voted for their favorite dragons, and that was the dragon that was going to win. And I kept track of the votes roughly in real time. So if one dragon spiked the lead at the beginning but then lost at the end, I said, they took an early advantage in the battle. And I kind of made a story of how they took the lead, but some of the other dragons ganged up on them. And then that's how this other one came out in the end. And so each of the families had one dragon that won. And eventually, the one that won the finale, the finals, was a silver dragon named Rizanivash. And so when Rizanivash won the Dragon Overlord, she said at the end of that stream, she told Kalazandrex, the sage dragon who was the one who wrote In World, that first book that you pulled out, she said, Kalazandrex, I'm sending you to look across the world for the hidden dragons, the secret dragons that no one has ever seen. And that was actually almost a year ago when she sent Calzandrex to find those secret dragons. It may have been even a little over a year ago. And now Calzandrex has found them. Calzandrex is an overachiever. He found four groups of different dragons, of hidden dragons, of secret dragons. The name of the project is Secret Dragons. And so these aren't, like you can see here, the fairy dragons, misfit dragons, leshy dragons, and battle dragons.
Now, are they all four books the same size of page length?
They are, I will say this, they're intended to be roughly or even almost exactly the same size, but stretch goals will be added kind of to one book and then the other, and so they're going to get a little bit off parity because of stretch goals. There's also 50 stretch goals total, I think, right now in four books, which is not evenly divided 50 by four. So if we totally blow everything out of the water and get all of the possible stretch goal ideas that we had, which I don't know if that will happen, but if it does, it will also, even then, not be completely balanced between the books. But they are roughly the same size, and they are looking to be roughly around 100, although if they get all the stretch goals, they could go above that by like some decent amount, especially the book that gets more when you round up. And that's because it's going to include all the lore you need about the new dragons. It's going to include player character rules for the new dragons and the base rules so that you can use that even if you don't have the first book. It's going to include monster stat blocks for the new dragons, young, adult, ancient, and great worm, even though there aren't normally great worms in Pathfinder 2nd edition. 5e already normally includes great worms, and it will still include great worms here. Plus some extra information about the Great Worms, additional lore sidebars, commentary by Calzandrex, who always has some snarky thing to say about different types of dragons. And as you can go to the Kickstarter on kickstarter.rollforcombat.com, you can see some of the stretch goals here are adding classic Great Worms from dragons who didn't have them in Pathfinder 2 so far, or in 5e had them, but some fans said that they thought that they weren't like that powerful for their level and were hoping that the ones that came out would have had a few like sort of snazzier abilities. And so what we've done is we're going to have, we have a Pathfinder 2 version of these, and we're going to have our 5e converters spice it up so that it feels a little bit more majestic like a Great Worm than the ones that do already exist in 5e.
Okay. So let's go through each book and let's talk generally about what's inside. So let's start with Battle Dragons. I love the cover for this. What it's can you tell so us cool. about it?
All right. So Battle Dragons is a book that, as you can see here on the mock-up cover, it is mostly written by Sen HHS. There may be a few other authors that are added on to the final cover of that. I think there will be, because depending on which stretch goals are hit, because there are different authors for some of the stretch goals. So Sen HHS is a game writer from Taiwan, who's also written for Pathfinder, is one of the cover authors of Rage of Elements. Battle dragons are dragons who love to fight. They live for battle and the battlefield. Each of them represents a different way of engaging with battle that kind of sort of has corollaries towards different like martial classes. So the rage dragon just gets really mad and just goes into a frenzy, kind of like a barbarian in some ways. The hunt dragon hunts the most dangerous game, intelligent creatures. It's, you know, it's kind of like a ranger in some ways. The duel dragon wants a fair fight one-on-one with someone. It could be like a duelist or a swashbuckler. The mercenary dragon will fight for the highest bidder and knows all the tricks of the trade like a fighter. And then there is the like the warlord dragon that is, you know, kind of like a bard or a marshal, like leads a huge legion onto the field of battle. And sometimes these battle dragons can be almost like their whole own squadron unto themselves, like here on the cover, where you've got this giant like war going on and just this group of battle dragons, one of each kind, is fighting off against an enemy army here.
So let's talk about now Misfit Dragons. Now, this is interesting, this cover. What can you tell us about this?
So, you know what? Battle Dragons, they have it together. Maybe not the Rage Dragons, but they are great at fighting. They are a constant threat on the battlefield. And most dragons are kind of majestic, you know? They're kind of like, they radiate power. Then there's the Misfit Dragons. And they're a little bit of the oddballs of dragon kind because they're actually very powerful. In some ways, their magic is too powerful. That's actually their issue, is that they have magic that goes through them that's so powerful, so strong, that it's almost a little bit out of control. And this is what makes them the Misfits. So, for example, out there in the front, you can see a bionic dragon. So the thing about bionic dragons is, like, necromantic energies, energies of life and death, and those sort of things are coursed through their bodies to an extreme amount. But that also causes their bodies to decay rapidly. And so what they've learned to do is to replace the body parts that need to with bionic parts so they can keep advantage of their necromantic powers while also not dying from their body decay. There's also the phase dragon, that it has such powerful teleportation energies going through it that it's kind of phasing in and out of reality all the time, whether it wants to or not. The metamorphic dragon's transformation abilities are so strong that it loses control of its shape. Oops. The doom dragon has such powerful prediction abilities and like divination type stuff that they can't help but receive lots and lots and lots of predictions of terrible things that will happen. Many of which are actually true, but some of which are not. And they only learn about the bad stuff, more or less. Like, they don't get a good prediction. They just know the bad predictions. So they're never going to be like, hey, Manny, it's going to be great next week. Your Doom Dragon friend is a doomer. They're only going to be, they'll just say nothing if it's going to be great next week. But they'll be able to tell you, oh no, something awful is going to happen. I don't know what it is. Or maybe they have an idea what it is, and it might be right or wrong. And then the Wellspring Dragon, just random magic just shoots out of them that causes effects that you don't even know what it's going to be.
And this, you already spoke a little bit about the Leshy Dragons.
Yes.
What more can you add to what you said previously?
Okay, so basically, and you can see here on the cover, there's some Leshies and Leshy Dragons that are, they're having a picnic. And so this is written by Jessica Redicop, the other one of the other cover authors, the other external non-Paizo cover author, I guess, of Rage of Elements. And so Leshy Dragons, the initial Toadstool Dragon was designed, or the idea was created by Ginny D. I wrote it in the first Dragon book, but we didn't have stat blocks for it, which I actually did then write some side stat blocks. So it needed some friends and some family members. So we added in four new dragons. The Harvest Dragon that you see in the back has like veggies and fruits growing from it. Each of these dragons is like a cousin of one type of Leshy. So the Toadstool Dragon is similar to a Fungus Leshy. And the Harvest Dragon is kind of a cousin to Gourd Leshies. And they love harvesting different types of food. Then there's the Arboreal Dragon that is like a tree dragon that is similar to leaf leshies, the kelp dragon, which is kin to seaweed leshies, and the kelp dragons are kind of undersea fashionistas. They're really funny. They have a very, very strong aesthetic sensibilities. And then there are, let's see, which one am I missing out? Oh, the floral dragon, of course, covered in flowers and related to various different types of flower leshies. There's more than one flower leshy in Pathfinder.
And last but not least, fairy dragons, which I'm happy to see, because I feel like there's not enough like fey and dragon like combinations out there.
So fairy dragons are last in here, but first in terms of like which of them is going to come out, because we're going to try to make them available as they are. And fairy dragons is considered the first release. So it's the one people will have in their hands first. It's written by Paizo's own Jessica Catalan. And basically, Manny, as you said, many people love dragons and fairies and fairy dragons. In fact, multiple people asked us, why fairy dragons weren't in the first book. And the answer is because they are not a type of true dragon that would use the Luxaturna ritual in the lore. The original fairy dragon from like D&D. Now, Paizo made that easier to tell in the remaster by renaming that fairy dragon a dragonette, which I think is actually a great new name to give for them to indicate, look, they're these little things. They're not exactly the same as the other dragons. But we heard, and as soon as I heard that, Steven's like, all these people are asking this, and I know they're not true dragons. I was like, I know, but and we can make some that are true dragons. This is clearly what the people are asking for. They need a new family. Everyone wants fairy dragons. So we made a new family of fairy dragons. This is one of the first things that we knew we were going to add. Other than Leshy dragons, I guess were first since they literally had one in the other book. And so these five dragons, the pixie dragon is the one that's like literally very thematically close to the fairy dragonette from Pathfinder or fairy dragon from D&D in that they love pranks. They're not exactly the same creature, but they also get along well with each other, but they are a true dragon that are related to sprites and pixies. Then on the cover here, you can see on the front, like really messing around with that piece of cake is a mischief dragon. Those are kin to gremlins. So it's not by accident that it kind of looks like a gremlin face there on the front of that dragon who's looking out at you from the cover. And they make all sorts of nasty mischief. Then on the left back there, you can see an allure dragon. Those are connected to nymphs. And they live in the beautiful places of the world. There's court dragon is the one pouring the tea because they know the proper etiquette. They live in the fey courts of the Shi, and therefore they follow the same sort of weird meta-narrative rules from Battlezoo Ancestry Shi a little bit. And they always have to deal with fairy politics and the kind of things with like, be careful with the fairy food and drink. And then last, but certainly not least, is alicorn dragons, which are a dragon with like a unicorn horn and unicorn-like powers. So those are the five fairy dragons that each represents a different sort of aspect of fairy tales and fae.
Wow, each of these books sound really amazing. So let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter for this. Absolutely. What are your plans exactly?
Okay, well, as you can see, today, April 1st, on kickstarter.rollforcombat.com, the Kickstarter is up and running, and it's doing well, hopefully, since this is pre-recorded, even though I keep saying it's April 1st. So you can back now, and you really should check it out today, or at least soon, because there's a bunch of special incentives that are up there right now. So first of all, let me tell you about the first 48-hour incentive. If you back during the first 48 hours and back for an amount that generally means that you got like all four of the books, but there are some ways to do it without getting all four of the books. Right. Let me back up. You do not have to buy all of these books. The reason that it is four books instead of one gigantic monster like Jewel of the Indigo Isles is people kept asking us, hey, you guys, you keep making gigantic monsters of books, but sometimes I just, if there's a way to split it up, maybe I just want fairy dragons. I mean, they didn't ask it for dragons. They asked that for one of our ancestry ones. I just want slimes. I don't want the other ones. Is there any way to split it? And so we heard that feedback. There was a lot of that feedback. And we're going to give it a try because the five families is a pretty reasonable way to split it up. It's better than having like an almost 400-page book, especially for people who just love fairy dragons or just want the battle dragons or the misfits are their cup of tea. So you can get one book. You can get four books. You can get all four in both Pathfinder and 5e if you want. The discounts keep stacking up, and they are pretty wild if you keep going up towards the top. Some of the discounts just discount you by like well over half of the cost of things. There's special editions and regular editions of the hardcovers, and the special edition art is so good. So if you spend at least $99, which is usually done by having all four books, but there are ways to not do that, you will get a limited edition of the original book, signed by supposedly Mark Seifter, the human author, and Kalizandrex, the dragon author. But okay, we all know that dragons aren't real, but it will be signed by Kalizandrex as well, right? For free. For free. And special edition, plus the PDF, plus the digital assets. When you add the cost of the special edition to the cost of a PDF to the cost of the digital assets, normally that would be over $100 for, now often they're bundled, so you don't have to buy them separately. But if you did, it would be over $100, and that is actually added for free. And this is going to be the only way to get this special edition, is either from the first 48-hour $99 incentive, or you'll be able to buy it in as an add-on later on, I think, during the Kickstarter. This is it, because with special editions, the more Steven has to print, the more expensive it is for him. So he's not just going to make a whole bunch of other ones and hope. And yeah, the book itself is $75 on its own. And when you add in the PDF and the digital assets, it goes up even above that. So that's one of the things to look out for. The other thing is, you don't even have to back. If you go to kickstarter.rollforcombat.com, there's a free product that's just there. It's sitting there right now. Battlezoo Ancestries Fusions, our newest April Fool's product. 2 years ago, we did Dungeons, where you can play as a dungeon as your character. It's free. You can go to battlezoo.com and find it right now. 1 year ago, we did Otherworlders, where you can play as yourself or someone you know. One group said, I don't want to be myself, but I do want to have each of my players play was a different one of the players. So, like, you know, Manny would play me and I would play Manny or something like that. And you play as yourself, who has been transported into a fantasy world, and with some cheat power that you gain for being sent into a fantasy world, because that's a big trope in, like, various amounts of lit RPG and Japanese light novels and the like. And so then this year is fusions, because what's wilder than those other two things? Well, you can find out on the Kickstarter page, where you can download it anytime without any purchase needed. And basically with fusions, you can play a two-headed giant, a Cerberus with three heads, or a four-headed Hydra. And by you, I actually mean the plural you. Because if I wanted to do a two-headed giant, and my, you know what? If I only had one player, one or two players, maybe my GM would let me do it myself. But normally, Manny would play one of the heads, and I would play the other head. Because each of the heads of the two-headed giant is a full character with their own different class. You can see in the art, when you look at it, that there's art of a giant who, like, the left half of the giant's body is like a robe and is holding a staff. And the right half is like plate armor and is holding a sword, because the right head is a fighter and the left head is a wizard. And they're kind of sharing the body together. And so basically that's what fusions are. They share the body. They have to share their movement, which is a little bit constricting for them. So in exchange for that, they get bonus feats that let them do powerful combined moves, combo moves like X Strike or Omega Beam, that just use multiple characters together to achieve a giant result. And you could use these combo moves in your game even if you're not using fusions, if you want, but they are designed specifically for fusion characters. One of my favorites is a feat that is kind of like the anti-Voltron or Megazord Power Rangers feat, where you can get a combined action where you actually split off into the individual character. So the Hydra, like, splits into four snakes that are each smaller than the original Hydra. And then they can move separately instead of being in a combined body. But then they can't use their Omega Beam until they combine back to form the full Hydra.
So viewers, I will put a link in the description below so you can check out the Kickstarter and all that information. Before we sign out, I have one more question for you. Why do you think we love dragons so much? What is it about these mythological creatures that we just are so fascinated by them?
That's a really good question. I think that what's so fascinating about dragons is just the way that they symbolize power. there are so many cultures across the world, some of which never interacted with each other for sure by the time that they had these dragon myths, that have their own, obviously not called dragons everywhere, right? They have their own names. They're a little different. They can have very different forms, but there's something about this powerful serpentine being that, that makes it the ultimate arbiter of strength, maybe danger, sometimes sin, depending on the culture. Sometimes they're not evil. And I think what it is comes down to human nature, and maybe our evolution, that there may have been a time where two very dangerous things, because we have this flying serpent, are like maybe kind of a serpent or reptile and like a bird or some kind of predator that can come at you from above. So those are two things that are powerful and dangerous. Add in fire and those kind of threats that anyone would be afraid of, and now it can breathe fire. So it just kind of is like, almost you could think of it as like the ultimate being that like represents some of the primal fears from like that early hominids may have had. And you know what? That's just like kind of croc anthropology that I made up, and I think other people have posted. I'm pretty darn sure. There's no proof or evidence for it, so it could be something else. But like, at least sounds like a good story of a possibility for why dragons might be. It's just something that resonates with everyone.
See, I need a time travel phone so I could call someone like Joseph Campbell and say, "Hey, you know what? What is it with dragons and humanity?"
There you go. And Joseph Campbell would be like, "Manny, lend me your time travel phone. We need to go back further."
Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your latest project. I wish you and the Battlezoo team the best. And viewers, all the links are in the description below. Thank you for watching. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time.